change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I'm your host today, Mickey Desai. I'm very happy today to be speaking with Jamie Duffy. Jamie is the Executive Director of Youth on Record. How are you doing, Jamie?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Mickey.
Yes. Before we get into our topic at hand, can you tell me a little bit about Youth on Record, your journey with that organization and what the organization tries to do?
Yeah, absolutely. So Youth on Record is based in Denver, Colorado, and we serve upwards of 2,000 young people ages 11 to 24 annually. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, have been around for close to about 12 years, and I've been the executive director for 11. So we've grown by over 1,000% since I've been the ED, and we're really focused on racial justice and equity and education. So we are at the intersections of art, education, and youth development. We employ professional local musicians, which is a lot of fun. Yeah. These folks teach in public high schools and public middle schools. And then we also have a host of out-of-school time programs. So we are, you know, on the ground, grassroots organization, you know, considered sort of small to mid-size with an operating budget of about $1.6 million, and really working on adolescent to career services to help young people become more free, more rooted in their power, and more able to see how their voices and values can create a better world.
Very cool. How long have you been ED?
I've been ED for 11 years. I started out in my late 20s, and you know, the growth has been amazing, both organizationally and for myself professionally.
I mean, the idea that you say 1,000% increase in scope over the course of 11 years is kind of mind-boggling. How I have to ask, how'd you do it? Was there what's your secret sauce?
Boy, I think the secret sauce is being deeply committed to the work, really passionate about it. Because we have so many artists involved in the project, we're able to be really innovative and incubate new ideas. So I think a lot of folks in the nonprofit sector feel stagnant in the ways of being able to try new things. And we have found a way of being able to do that. And diversifying our funding has helped us to do that. So we can incubate new ideas, try new things out. I have a team of folks that we have built over the 11 years who are deeply committed to this work. And so I think that the ability to innovate has kept me here. And we're also an organization that is deeply committed to allowing and encouraging the whole employee to show up at work at all times. So it's not like we put on our nonprofit hat and then we take it off and go home and we're somebody else. Our work at Youth on Record is integrated into our entire lives, and we're allowed to show up as our whole selves at work. So if I worked at a workplace that I couldn't be my whole self, if I worked in a workplace where I couldn't offer some critique and truth to power in the sector, I would not be in this sector. So, and I'm just surrounded by the best people in the world.
That's just amazing.
Yeah, that's what has kept me here. That's what's kept us growing and thriving. And that arts lens has allowed us to, you know, artists have to stare in front of a blank canvas or a blank screen or an instrument that hasn't been plucked and create. And so that art sentiment is part of our business model. And I think that's a large part of the secret sauce here. We also have a really supportive Denver community.
Yeah.
And a really great group of activist artists who are committed to this work. So that's what's in the sauce.
You said something that I hope we can revisit in a future episode if you're willing, which was the freedom to innovate or the ability
Absolutely.
To do some real innovation. So I think that's definitely something that's worth digging into if you're willing.
Absolutely.
In the meantime, let me turn the steering wheel towards the thing that originally brought us together, which is this really, really cool and impressive letter that you wrote. And I don't want to steal your thunder. So can you tell us about the letter? And let's just start with that. Please tell us about
Sure.
the letter.
Yeah. Sure. So a few months ago, I released an open letter to foundations as the executive director of Youth on Record. And I recognize that I am a white woman who is in a position of privilege as an executive director of a largely BIPOC-serving organization. Although I should say that we have shared power, shared leadership, and shared decision-making with BIPOC leaders on our team. Even so, having, 11 years at the helm of this organization, I think a fairly respected reputation, and also with just my identity privilege, I felt that I was in a place to be able to speak a little bit of truth to power. What really happened was, this is a conversation. So my letter is essentially talking about trust-based philanthropy, which is a conversation that many of us have been having for a decade at least. But in the middle of coronavirus, racial uprisings, the murder of George Floyd, civil unrest, insurrection on the Capitol, we were in this place where executive directors have been calling me saying, I can't do this. The amount of funding requests, the hoops that we're having to jump through for our foundation friends, and I want to make that very clear, for folks that we've worked with and for years, they think they're being helpful, but they're not, and I'm not going to survive this. And so it was 9 o'clock on a Tuesday, it was snowing out in Denver, and I just took to my laptop and started writing a letter that I never intended to release. It was just sort of cathartic for me. But as I did it, I realized, I'm just going to go ahead and take the risk of putting this out. And really, it's a letter to foundations for a reason, not to individual donors, not to corporations, not even to the government, but to foundations. And the reason I wrote it to foundations is this: we are friends. We're pals in the sector, right? Foundations, I believe, of all donors, have the best understanding of the circumstances that we face. They have the best understanding of the systems we're trying to change. They have the best understanding of the community. And I say best meaning in terms of funders. Clearly, the folks who have the best understanding of this are the folks who are on the ground and the folks who are most impacted by injustices that require nonprofits to come in and support. And so I wrote it to them to say, look, you know us. You see the good work we do. You've been in relationship with us for decades. We need you to cut us a break right now, because what we are facing is unprecedented. The amount of work is unprecedented. We need you to trust us this year to do our work. And so what I had seen was an uptick of applications, reporting, marketing requests, required training cohorts, all these things that I do believe that a lot of foundations thought they were being helpful. But what's not helpful is that when one foundation says, well, we're only asking 4 additional questions about COVID, it's like, those are your 4 questions. And then we've got their 4 questions and their 4 questions and their 4 questions and their 4 questions. So I had never in my time as a nonprofit professional faced so many added hoops, and in a time that we needed them to really be eliminated. So it was a challenge to philanthropy and specifically foundations to say, do you trust us? Do you believe in our work? What do you think these nonprofit EDs are going to do? You think they're going to take a golden parachute and just go become lavender farmers in New Mexico? I mean, we're doubling down on our work. We care about this. Just let us do our work. And
I didn't know that becoming a lavender farmer was an option. So.
Well, I don't necessarily think it is the option, but it is sort of the Denver fantasy. Whenever we're getting a little overwhelmed, we're like, you think they'll accept us in New Mexico? Can we go down there? But, so it was really that. Now, what's interesting is the way it's been received. So this letter originally,
Before we go there, I wanted to dig out a little bit in terms of, on the one hand, it would be hard to think that any of these philanthropies are trying to make our lives difficult on purpose. It's not really malicious. Are they simply out of touch? Are they simply wrapped up in their own data collection mechanisms? What do you think is really going on from their end in terms of doing the things that they've always done?
I think all human beings get really attached to the systems we've created, right? And so I think that's what's happened. I think we were in a moment where it's like, well, this is what's done. I've even heard from nonprofit partners say, well, they can't not ask us to submit an application.
Right.
And my response is, why? Why? Well, but how would we keep nonprofits accountable? It's like, well, you've worked with us for 10 years. So they sort of know the deal. They know what we're up to, right? And so a lot of the I think reasoning is because we create systems, they make us feel comfortable. We feel cozy in them. We're like, this is the way it works. Oh, and we've got all these folks employed who, well, if we don't require grant applications, what are we going to do with our team who reads grant application? Mm-hmm. Right. Well, what, you know, how would we measure your impact? And so, so I think some of it, I don't know if out of touch is the right word, although certainly there's some who are more in touch than others, but I think we just get really attached to our own systems. We do that within nonprofits. Like we've always done it this way. So why, I mean, I've gotten pushback actually more from nonprofits than foundations. Cause they're like, well, but this is how it's done. And, you know, I'm a believer, you know, that goes back to the innovation. So what? So what if that's how it was done? Rethink it. So I think it's just a comfortability of a system and being put in a place where we haven't been able to reimagine what that could look like.
Right. Right. So you put the letter out there. What happened? What happened next?
Well, I was really surprised. I had some, folks in philanthropy who were really supportive, in particular, Gary Sawyer, who runs the Bonfils Stanton Foundation here in Denver, and he's really connected to Americans for the Arts and some great folks. And so having his endorsement very quickly and to pass this around was helpful. So this got picked up by local media, the Denver Westward. They did a story about it. My buddy Kyle Harris over there did a whole kind of like deep dive, called foundation heads. And then it kind of took on a life of its own. Nonprofit Quarterly picked it up. There were a couple other publications that picked it up. Before you knew it, I was getting phone calls and emails from foundation heads saying, hey, look, we're going to try to change our practices. I was getting, you know, emails from foundations that I didn't even know about who said, hey, this is the topic of conversation at our board meeting. And then I was getting a barrage, and that may not be the right word, but like in a beautiful way, nonprofit EDs from throughout the country reaching out to me saying, thanks for saying what I needed to say. I really wrote it as a tool.
Sure.
And the tool was A, for foundations, use this as a topic. For nonprofit EDs, it was attach this to your grant reports, right? If you don't think you can say it, use me. Say, well, my buddy Jamie is saying this. So we kind of feel this way a little bit. Like, are you cool with this? So, so I saw that. On the flip side, there's this fight about accountability, you know? So nonprofits, again, some nonprofit leaders were like, well, how on earth would we be accountable to these folks? And how, you know, how will they know we're doing a good job? Which is so interesting. There's like a level of internalized depression there. It's like, do you trust what you're doing? Do you believe in your good work? And so that it's interesting how human beings sometimes will stay in an oppressive system as opposed to pushing for the change. Right. And that is internalized oppression. It's, you know,
my defense for anybody who's stuck there is sometimes you need to get out of the city to see the smog. And and I suspect that's a piece of it. You know, every once in a while, you have the rare individual who stands up and says, you know, we are surrounded by smog. And but you're right. In any case, so they should use the thing that you wrote as a tool. How would you encourage them to overcome? Because the perceived danger is I'm going to piss off my philanthropists. I'm going to kill my relationship with my funders. And then my whole nonprofit goes to hell in a handbasket. How do you get folks to overcome that fear?
Well, I'll tell folks how I do it. Okay. I do it by focusing on the relationship with the foundation and then calling out what I'm afraid of. I think I've learned this from working with hip hop artists, and it sort of reminds me, this is going to sound so weird, but it's sort of like a rap battle. Like, let me just like call this out before you call it out. Right. So I will write in an email.
Yeah.
We're in such a great relationship with each other, and every relationship is rooted in radical candor and transparency. And so let me be transparent with you. Your requirements of us at this time are actually harming us and not helping us. How can we work together to make this better for the work? Because it's calling out. And then I will say sometimes, this is a risk for me to say, because there's a power dynamic here that I know neither of us is comfortable with. See, it's a little bit of like slightly reverse psychology. It's like, I'm going to give you the blessing and the benefit of saying, oh, you're not comfortable with this power dynamic either, are you? Because the power dynamic is inappropriate. It is not appropriate. First of all, in philanthropy, in foundations, the folks who are making this decision, it's not your money. You are the stewards of the money. You didn't make that money. It's not your cash, right? Now, for family foundations, that's one thing. I'm talking about community foundations. Right. Family foundations, I actually find, send you checks with no questions. They're just like, here, take $100,000, right? Community foundations, it's like, it's not your cash. You have one job. You have one job. Move the money. Right. And so I give them the benefit of the doubt, saying, I know you don't like this power dynamic either. This power dynamic is oppressive. We don't want to be involved in an oppressive system, do we? So I am telling you that this is oppressive. I am telling you that in order for us to be in the relationship that you say you want,
yes,
we need to be radically candid with each other. And then I give them the opportunity to be radically candid back and say, if there is something in our work that you do not understand or that you do not see as effective, please let us know. Right. And so you've got to give them an opportunity to be candid with you as well, because I'm not sitting here saying that every nonprofit organization in the United States of America is effective. Every time a cat dies, someone starts a nonprofit, right? The nonprofit complex is a challenge for everybody. But I open it up that way. So that's what I would recommend with folks. Try it. Try it with your most trusted partner. That gives you a little bit of courage to try it with the folks that you're not that close with. Right. But I'll tell you what, it increases your confidence and you're trying it out on them. Mm-hmm. And then they will give you sort of some support in terms of trying it out on other foundations. But if we don't start telling the truth as nonprofit leaders to foundations and say, this isn't working for us.
Right.
Why they're not gonna shift. And I do believe the majority of them want to shift and want to do the right thing.
Right. Well, I like the title that you just, I think you just gave me the title of the episode, which is Move the Money.
Move the Money.
Move the Money.
That's your job. Yeah. One thing I will say, you know, one final thought for folks, and this is, and you and I could talk for hours, but
sure.
One final thought, which I think puts me in sort of a rebel ED category, is I don't trip over myself to be thankful for foundation contribution, because that level of gratitude that, oh my gosh, thank you so much. Oh, we just needed this so much. That again is perpetuating sort of a system of a power dynamic that, yep, that is harmful. And so it's like, thank you for recognizing our good work, but I'm not thankful that you move the money, which is your only job. And I think foundations are trying to be so responsive to communities that they are starting to dip their toe into on-the-ground community work. And I think we need to have a real conversation about, is that actually the work of a foundation, right? Community foundations very much want to be involved in the community, and they should be, so they could make good decisions. But I mean, this is going to take us into a whole other conversation, which we could have as a part two, which is about, you know, community-based philanthropy and who's really making those decisions. Right. And I'm all about accountability, right? But I'm support and accountability go hand in hand. And, you know, the final things I would say is, who are nonprofits ultimately accountable to, right? Are the metrics of accountability clear and consistent across the sector? Simple answer, no. And is accountability truly equitable? Because a lot of really big organizations get a lot of really big money. And a lot of small organizations who are completely accountable to their community, beloved, trusted, authentic, rooted in their communities, are getting peanuts.
Exactly.
So what is accountability even? We need to have conversations about that. We need to, you know, kind of streamline what that looks like.
Yeah.
And guess who needs to set the metrics for accountability? It's either A, the funders themselves, but a lot of funders just put their money into foundations and say, well, you do what you want.
Right.
But it really actually is a conversation between the funder and the community, not the foundation and the community. The foundation is the pass-through. And that's not me discounting all the great work. I am friends with foundation heads. These folks work their butts off. Like, they are incredible human beings. But we need to talk about what is the role of the foundation, because to be honest, there's too many people who are kicking their cash over to these foundations who aren't even hardly aware of where it's going. And so we just need to have more conversations about this stuff and be brave enough to say, hey, let's talk about it. We're not outing anybody. We're not calling anybody out, but we need to have these long, long, long overdue conversations.
Jamie, it's clear that we need to do part two, possibly even part three on this topic.
Happy to.
Great. If a nonprofit individual wanted to be in touch with you with, I don't know, questions or to check out the thing that you wrote, how would you suggest they find that, or how would you suggest they get in touch with you?
You know, I am happy for folks to email me or to reach out to me, you know, on LinkedIn, which I was just kind of pushed into the realm of LinkedIn by my director of visibility, because it is a great place. I've connected with a lot of nonprofit folks. So it's Jamie Lynn Duffy on LinkedIn. You can email me. It's Jamie, J-A-M-I, at youthonrecord.org. And I will, you know, do my best to get back to you, and would love to, you know, talk more, host more conversations, hear what people are saying. The other thing I would say is write your own open letter. You know, I mean, my next open letter is going to be about boards of directors. This is a topic we have to talk about, right? And I have the best board ever. I've got an amazing board. Oh. That said, we need to talk about that structure, right? We need to talk about whether or not that structure makes sense. So my thought is, let's all start putting these out there. I would love to see an open letter a week, you know, just throw it out there. We'll all respond. We'll be in a community about it. So, but if you want to get in touch with me either on LinkedIn or via email would be great. And I'll do my best to respond, and we'll just keep building this community of truth telling.
I love it. Thank you. Jamie, thank you for taking the time to make this recording with me today.
Happy to be here. Thanks, Mickey.
Thanks for listening to the Nonprofit Snapcast. I value your feedback via the Nonprofit Snapcast website. That's nonprofitsnapcast.org. I would welcome the opportunity to tell you more about my consulting services. Visit nonprofitsnapshot.org and click on the consulting tab to learn more about the work that I do with nonprofits across the country.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.